You may be seated together. Wait just a minute or so, Brother Veers. I've got a little bit of an introduction and a beginning. The last couple of weeks, the Spirit of God has been prompting me to follow through. And I know with a few that aren't here, but I still want to throw it out there. I can't remember whether it was at the very end of last year or the very beginning of 2023 when we started the new year. And I believe it was that first Wednesday. I asked a question and I was really kind of shocked or blown away at the amount of responses, and I'm seeing some fruit from that, but I asked, what did you want to see, or what do you want the Lord to do for you in the year 2023? And I just want to see if anybody wants to kind of give an update. Are you at that point that you have grown? Have you changed any in your whatever you were dealing with at that time? And, you know, how is the Lord working in your life now? Okay, you throwing stuff at me? Nobody wants to venture out? Oh, you're allowed.
So when we enter 2023, one of the things that I said to myself was, I want more clarity in my relationship with God and just in my Christian walk, period. And there are some things that have plagued me for a very long time, just old sin that I've done for some reason I can't seem to get over it and forgive myself. Then I would say probably, it was either February or March, Pastor preached a sermon on how Jesus forgets it, so why can't we? And it was interesting because I actually had a pastor in my past that contradicted that statement and told me that forgive and forget type thing was not biblical. And I don't know why. I never put two and two together. But for some reason, when pastor preached that, it really opened my eyes and made me realize that, well, duh, no wonder I'm still plagued by this stuff. It's because I can't seem to get over it because I'm not allowing myself to. And as I've been working on that, I've seen dramatic changes just in my own personal attitude and just not falling, not feel like I'm falling all the time, and actually have seen some relief in some of those areas. So I know that God is working in me, and I always know that He's never forsaken me or been away from me, and I can definitely tell that He's trying to do something in me because things aren't always comfortable, even though I want them to be comfortable. So I know that usually means He's doing something, and I'm excited to see what the rest of this year has in store.
Amen. Anybody else? Sister Trish.
I had very specific goals for myself, and some of them I have done okay, and some of them are still waiting for me. but I will say that some things have come out that I didn't really expect. When I went through that ladies' Bible study. You know, I expected to learn. Obviously, I expected to be different coming out the other side of it, but I didn't expect to be this different coming out the other side of it. There was a lot of things that we learned, a lot of you know, things that the author put her finger right on, you know, that otherwise you might not have seen or caught on to. And so that was huge. And then there are just other things, like I said, some things I have had the brain space and spirit space to focus on, and so I have been doing okay with those. And then other things, you know, I'm like, I have to get to that. And so every couple of weeks I talk to myself and go, okay, how's come you haven't started that yet? You know, and so there's a few things that I'm still struggling with, but I am thrilled that Bible study was able to teach me some really practical stuff. You know, a lot of times Bible studies are a little high-minded, and they don't always filter down into your actual daily life. This one was extremely practical, and so it was all practically daily life. And so that was really big. But.
Okay. Someone else. Sister Milburn.
For this year, the end of this month will be a year since I had hip surgery. And without it, I would not be able to walk or do anything. And I am so thankful for that surgery. And now I have the strength to do the things with the Lord and doing prayer coffees and stuff at my house. So I'm able to minister to other ladies. And then also all the things that you learn just by reading the Bible and different things all year long. And for some reason, I still have the joy of the Lord, no matter what United States does.
Amen. Anyone else? Brother Richard?
I've been trusting God for a home or house. I don't know what he has planned for me, whether it's an apartment or a house, but I do know that I'm going to have something better than where I'm at now. And I can see that starting to come about in the things that's happening in my life. And also, there was one other thing that happened about a month after that night. My oldest son that I thought I would never see again, I was under the impression that he moved to Russia, and I had no idea how to contact him or get a hold of him. Found me on Facebook, and all this time he had been living in Florida, and he is a Christian. He's been saved for quite some time, and he just got married about a month ago, and my other children went to his wedding, and I can see the seeds that I'm planting and he's planting is beginning to take root in my other children.
Awesome.
And I can just see that growing, and I'm believing that that's going to keep growing.
Amen. Someone else. Going once. Sister Jane.
This just came to me. I appreciate the stability of this church, the people, and the gathering, and Wednesday nights. This is so important. Very important.
Yes.
And many this last year of my cousins, my Christian cousins, have passed away just quickly, and my aunt and all kinds of my relatives. And normally I would go into a heavy grieving time of mourning. But because of the church family here, I've learned just to give it to God, and He take care of that, and we don't have to be in the sad grieving for months and years at a time. So I just, I'm learning a lot, and I've had a lot of unusual things happen to me, and the Lord has brought me through all of them, with the leg and the foot, and
yes.
Recently the pneumonia. You know, he's the one, only Jesus Christ is the healer. Of course, He works through the doctors. And I talked to, when I was a week in intensive care, I talked to almost all of the doctors, and they listen. So I just praise God. I'm starting to get some strength back. And strength is coming because Sunday mornings and Wednesdays to look forward to rejoicing in the Word.
Amen.
So strength comes.
Anyone else? The great thing is that we can rest assured that we can expect some great things if He should tarry. Scary part of it is that we can be at that point of His return, and our problems will be over, but you think it's bad now. You know, that's going to be something else for those who are left behind. One last opportunity. Anybody? Was that trying to get my attention? Keep Brother John in prayer. Too slow, brother. Give her what for? Okay. Before Brother Larry hands those out, I want to give kind of an introduction type thing, but also kind of get your brain juices flowing. You say, uh-oh, what are we in for tonight? if you only knew. Now, tonight we're going to have a great time because Sister Karen asked me earlier today if my lesson was going to be interesting, and of course, you know me, I said no. I'm going to just bore you to death. And I think she said that she was just going to go to sleep. So I'm keeping my eye this way and also back that way. But we're starting a series in a Bible study tonight. I don't know if we'll do all seven of the lessons, but it's entitled The Journey Within. Now, you've heard me talking several different times in the last few years about we're on a journey and we need to learn to enjoy the journey. But I want us to look at some of the things that were said tonight about the journey within. We need to know what's happening and what's going on inside of us. And that is taking care of the spirit man. We're getting ready to come up on Pentecost Sunday, which is 50 days after Easter, the great outpouring of God's Spirit. It just happened to be at the time of the Feast of Pentecost. And we're going to have a message on that later on. But the journey within is important. We're going to take a look at the New Testament snapshots of holiness. Yes, holiness is still the lifestyle that pleases God. It's the day-to-day struggles. It's those things that we deal with, whether it's pride, whether it's bitterness, anger, lust. You know, the list goes on and on and on. It's what we call the flesh. And we know that the flesh is always trying to come back to life. And we must be aware and in control of our flesh. And the Spirit's there to help us. If you want to go ahead and start handing those out, I've got a Bible app that I print my scriptures out, make it a little bit easier on myself. And one of the things and one of the questions that I was going to have you, and we might look at it a little bit later on, but I thought, well, I'm just going to search the Bible in the New King James Version and find out how many times holy was used. However, it came up with an extra little box and said, do you wish to refine so that you didn't have as many scriptures to look at? And of course, I closed that out and I went back to the search priority and put in be holy instead of just holy, because, you know, and I still had quite a few, and these were only just a few that I have, but I went through and highlighted a few. Now, I know tonight as you get your sheet, your Bible study, the journey within New Testament snapshots of holiness. The first ones, though, I want you to see is the Old Testament versus the New Testament. Remember, Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law, fulfill the Old Testament. And if you, and I'm just going to read through these real briefly and quickly. Leviticus 11:44, "For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Leviticus 19:2 says, "Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, you shall be holy, for the Lord your God am holy." Leviticus 20:26 says, "You shall be holy to me, for I am the Lord, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have separated you from the peoples that you should be mine." Numbers 15:40, "And that you may remember and do all the commandments and be holy for your God." Then you go into the New Testament scripture, and I'm just going to hit a few. Ephesians 1:4 says, "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Ephesians 5:27 says, "That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and without blemish." 1 Peter 1:15-16 says, "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy." Holiness is not just something that I have come up on my own. Holiness is the mandate of our God. Let's take a look at the introduction together. God's desire for a relationship with us springs not so much because he needs us, but rather because we need him. We don't know it or acknowledge it prior to becoming Christians, but more than anything else in the world, we need that relationship with God. You've heard me time and time again say, always remember, you take care of spirit man, the spiritual aspect of your life. In other words, your relationship with the Lord, and the Lord will take care of all the other things and stuff. It's important to remember that, yes, even though our world is in chaos, things have been turned around, upside down, backwards, inside out, however you want to look at it or talk about it. We call black, white, white, black, good, evil, evil, good. You know, this world, just, you know, many a times, just, you know, I would never have thought our nation would be in the condition that we are in. I never thought that I would see the day that the church would be in the shape and condition that it's in. But the church has allowed the things of the world to come in effect. Just because the world changes the terminology or words describing habits and attitudes, so on and so forth, you know, it used to be fornication, it's a one-night stand. You know, I don't even know what they say today anymore, but let's continue the last paragraph of the introduction. Does the New Testament portray God maintaining a desire for our holiness? Or does he drop the idea as a notion whose time has passed? Old Testament, that's why I wanted to give those to you. And then I wanted to point to some scriptures in the New Testament saying exactly the same thing. And then you can go back to, I believe it's Hebrews 13:5. God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he called sin in the Old Testament still calls sin today. Doesn't matter what we call it. What matters is God, because who are you going to stand before and give an account of your life? My job as your shepherd is to point things out and to try and encourage you in the right direction. It excites me when I hear how God is progressing in your life, or I should say, how you are allowing God to progress in your life. It's not because of you got a great preacher or anything like that. It's because this preacher believes only in the Word of God. It's not my opinion, and you deal with it with God. You don't come argue with me. Because I'll always take you right back to the Word. We have to make sure that Scripture interprets Scripture. Amen. So it's a notion that God hasn't let slip away. Amen. You know, we can't go out there and do whatever, whoever. And I think of Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our mind is a terrible thing to waste. Use it or lose it, some preachers have said. Continuing on, as we look to the New Testament, we see that God desires more than ever that we live holy lives. Rather than decreasing this emphasis, he actually increases it to include even more facets of our lives. I am glad that we do not live or were not part of the Old Testament rituals and so on and so forth. I'm glad that Jesus Christ came and paid the price for my sins and everything else that we have need of today. But it does, again, we can't fall in and out of grace, that God's grace will keep us and protect us. But if you go into Hebrews 10:25, forsaking the assembling together of yourselves, but it also, the next scripture, verse 26, I believe it is, talks about willful sin. What is willful sin? That's for another time and place, another lesson. We could spend a month of Sundays, as they used to say, on that one. Willful. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Okay, well, I'll have some questions here just in a few minutes. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and you might as well stay there because it's not just going to be 74 and 75 that we will read. But it will be 68 through verse 80, the end of the chapter. Luke 1, 74, 75. To grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. And that's not being scared, petrified, you know, that type of fear. Fear would be talking about our reverence toward Him. And I think that's one of the things in our society, in our world today, that we lost the fear of God. And even in the church, we have lost the fear of God. That we might serve Him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. Remember, holiness and righteousness as we go through this first lesson. Letter A. Well, let me finish the point number one. John the Baptist paved the way for Jesus' coming. We remember that John the Baptist is known for being the forerunner of Jesus Christ. It was prophesied, and we'll look at that, and we'll see the prophecy came true. Even in prison, John the Baptist sent messengers, his disciples, back to Jesus to make sure to reinforce the fact that Jesus was truly the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and confirmed it in that. Now go to letter A. Almost everything about John's life was unusual. His diet, honey and locust, yum, yum. And to think of what they're trying to get us to eat now. Because we can't have beef. Wrong answer. Next thing that was unusual in him was his manner of dress. Can you see us walking around the way he walked around? If you look at the next thing, even his birth to godly, elderly parents. And that was a prophecy to them. And even when Sarah came by John's mother Elizabeth, he flip-flopped in her belly at the Son of God, because Sarah was pregnant as well. Let's take a look at, or what did I say? Sarah Mary. I'm having a Joe Biden moment. Too many people to keep straight. COVID moment. Let me alone. Let's read together the verses that are there. 68 through 80. I know I got 79, but what's one more? To the end of the chapter. Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for He has visited and redeemed His people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David, as He spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember His holy covenant, the oath which He swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. and you child will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from our high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. So the child grew and became strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. This was the description of Zechariah's message of prophecy about John's future ministry. And again, it's important to understand the connection. Jesus came to fulfill the Old Testament. And John the Baptist was the fulfillment of these scriptures that Zechariah's message of prophecy spoke about. B1, we already read 74 and 75 twice, but those scriptures spoke of the deliverance and salvation of God's people. The Messiah would rescue us from our enemies and enable us to serve God without fear, with respect and due reverence. And it goes back what I gave to you, Romans 12:1, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, which should be just one of those dumb moments. That's the thing that we should do. Not because we have to, but it's just right to do. Amen? It's just right to do. Number two, we would be empowered to do this in holiness and righteousness. In other words, our actions as well as our heart motives and intentions can be correct in God's eyes. Holiness and righteousness. Our righteousness, we can't do enough to overcome sin in our life. It's Jesus Christ's righteousness. And that's why it's so important that we need to remember that our relationship with Jesus Christ is the most important. Getting saved takes care of eternity. But Jesus Christ also takes care of our relationship here on this earth. Why? Because it's his righteousness that gives us the ability to live holiness within our own lives. And yes, you still have the free moral agency. You don't get saved and God takes that and throws it away. That's why Hebrews 10 talks about willful sin. And he's talking to the church. So it's important to understand that God has made the way for our actions, for our attitudes, our heart, our motives, our emotions, and the list goes on and on and on. Jesus Christ has taken care of it for us. Thank you, Lord. Letter C. When will we be able to live our lives in holiness and righteousness? And you see that question mark at the end? Because you know each one of you need to answer that question. It's not when will we, when will Pastor Paul? When will Brother Richard? When will Sister Ashley? When will you be able to live your life in holiness and righteousness? What's the answer? Right now, right here. It's your choice. You can still choose. Rebellious women. Just kidding. When you choose, and when you walk out of this sanctuary, get in your car and go amongst the crazies out on the street. You choose. Amen. You have the choice, and you can make that choice. And it goes back to what I said Sunday. Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. It's a choice. You got to remember to enjoy the journey as you go, but it's a journey within yourself, though, too. And you need to enjoy that journey, too, even though many a times we get our toes stomped on. We get the proverbial taken to the woodshed. Some of you youngsters don't know what being taken to the woodshed means. My father used switches, and you had to go get the switch off the tree. No, you did not. You did that once. You learn not to do that again. Get the small one. Because then he would go get it. Didn't take very long to learn those lessons. We just didn't get caught.